Well, glory to God. This morning we're going to go back into our teaching. We've been teaching on the area talking about Joseph. I entitled this Interpreting the Will of God. In fact, well, I the Lord just gave me that thing, Interpreting the Will of God. Now, it doesn't seem like we're talking a whole lot about that subject, but this is what we're heading to, is about interpreting the will of God. And it's important for us. If the church can't interpret the will of God, if they don't know what's God and what's not, what God's doing or what God's not doing, there's no way you can cooperate with God. Many Christians today that I hear people making statements, and I know this by what they talk about, they can't interpret the will of God. They don't know what it is. Because most people interpret God's will by what they see going on, what they see happening around. They see the things that are around and they determine whether God can do what he wants to do because of this or that or the other thing. And because this is going this way, what's going to happen? People sit down and read scriptures and sometimes they say, well, it seems sort of contradictory about things. And it's because people can't interpret the will of God. They don't know the difference between God's will and what's happening. They don't know the difference. And what happens is we end up not cooperating with God. And you understand, when the Lord, Jesus himself spoke to Peter and told him, he said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We need to understand this, that it determines more in this earth what the church does than any group. It's the church. But the church has acted like the world, setting the course, and we have allowed them to set the course. We've turned our authority over them, and we have confessed what they have done, and oh, they're doing well. God can't bless America because, well, look at this and look at that. And we need to understand something. We're studying here about Joseph. God's going to bless a heathen nation. Well, God bless. Just think about Babylon. God blessed Babylon, didn't he? Bless Nebuchadnezzar. And see, if you don't understand and know the will of God, you know, the prophet Jeremiah told the people when they turned around and went up, were taken into captivity and hauled off the Babylon, the ones that went off. He said to them, he said, hey, go up there, you know, plant, you know, go up there, you know, and basically what he told them, God will bless you. Go up there, you know, do what you're supposed to and God's going to bless you there and he'll bring you back. But you're going to have to go up there and do that. Well, some of them went and did that and some didn't. Some went up complaining and everything instead of listening. They couldn't interpret the will of God. They thought, well, because everything got all messed up and everything, all this stuff happened. Well, it can't turn around. And we need to understand that as we study this story, I want you just to say this. In one day, God changed the destiny of Joseph. In one day. In one day, he went from a prisoner to second in charge of the greatest nation on earth. In fact, Pharaoh said himself, which we will read later on, I don't know if today we will or not, Pharaoh said to him, there's nobody going to be greater than you, than me. And he said, in my house. And he said, the rest, in other words, the rest of the land, you running it. Everything out here, you're running. He was running the nation. It happened in one day. See, we believe we got to wait from election to election. That's why the church hasn't gone anywhere, because the church just follows the world, just chases after it. Chases after whatever the world, you know, believe in how you believe. God can turn a nation in one day. And see, this is where we have to get ourselves a better picture. We see Joseph, and Joseph seems to be going from one lousy thing to another. He ends up in prison, but we find out, understand this, God is blessing the Egyptians because he's in their land. He ends up in prison. He was with Potiphar. God blessed Potiphar because of him. You need to understand about this principle that God blesses people because of the believer or the person. Just like him in his time, he's walking in the covenant that he has with God. We as Christians in our covenant. The Bible says that we're salt of the earth. That we're the salt of the earth. That's what we are. In other words, we keep things from rotting. God will do many things in this earth just because of the church. He does all kinds of things. This nation has not fell apart or fallen under judgment, and the only reason it hasn't to any great degree is because of the church. That's why it hasn't. But it hasn't been the majority of the church. It's because of the minority of the church who knows and can interpret the will of God and knows what to do. We need to understand that. A lot of people, they just, you know, going along and, you know, playing Christian. It ain't enough. We have to understand our position. Most Christians don't understand their authority, have no clue about their authority. Most churches you walk into, they're just trying to hang on to the end until Jesus gets back so they can get out of here to get away from these heathens. That's all they think of. You know, folks, they've been doing that for years. They were doing it in the church I was in as a kid. They were just waiting to get hauled out of here away from these ugly people. And so they did nothing about nothing. And, they were just sitting and hanging on. Well, we're not hanging on, folks. It's not what we're doing. Joseph had dreams from God. We found that he had two dreams, and those true dreams really said his destiny. And you can't read part along the story. Actually, you have to read the whole story of Joseph to understand the story. Because if you don't, you won't interpret the will of God. You'll think it's just been sort of a hit and miss thing. This is not a hit and miss thing that's been going on. Joseph, God gave him a destiny, and his destiny was to become a leader. His destiny was to become a leader. That's what it was for. And it sure didn't look like he was getting there. It didn't look at all like, you know, the devil will come down. Look, God didn't have Joseph's brothers become what they were. That was the devil. You know, if God turned Joseph's brothers into ugly guys, then God's the problem in this story. God's the problem. He's not. God's not the problem in the story. God is working in spite of what men do. There's a man believing God. There's a guy called Joseph. He keeps walking and following God no matter what happens or what goes on. He's going to walk in what's right. He's going to continue to. Why? Because he's going somewhere. He's going someplace. Where are you going? Are you just getting by? Are you just waiting on your job to someday you can retire and do something? That's what most people are doing. They have no destiny. You know, one day we get to heaven. I want what the Bible talks about, days of heaven and the earth. I want to be in that before I leave. There's a destiny to have something here. It's a destiny for us to achieve something. And people say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, keep saying it and you'll never find out. You know, keep your faith rolling that you don't know. Keep praying. Keep saying it. You're going to have everything you say. I just want you to know that. You're going to have what you say. The only reason we don't, you can't sit around and say, well, I just don't know, and I just don't know, at the same time, find out. You can never talk that stuff. See, we talk about confession, but people really don't know much about it. And everybody has to find, we all have a destiny. What is our destiny? Where are we going? What's our destiny we want in this nation? We're going to have to speak our destiny. We're going to have to talk it. It's not going to just happen. Because God would like it to happen. If God would like just that work that way, then the Bible says God's willing that none should perish, it all come repentance. Well, then everybody's going to get saved, aren't they? Everybody's going to heaven. Won't be nobody in hell. Hey, they're believing that today. You know, people, Christians, believing that. Spirit-filled people believing that stuff now. They bought those doctrines. You know, everybody's going, boy, that's good news. You know, that would be nice, but it's a big lie, you know. Everybody's not. But see, there's a destiny, and we need to find out. What's my purpose here? Am I here just to be a Christian and walk on, just hold until Jesus comes back and just live a nice life? What is it? What is the destiny? Do I have a part in the direction of this nation? For some reason, most Christians think it's the government sets the direction. It never has been. That's scripturally not right. Scripturally, that's not true. But who cares? We believe our political junk today. We believe it. We've bought into these things. And really, we don't see ourselves having any destiny of anything. We don't see ourselves ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus. We see us down here, one day you'll rule and reign. In heaven, don't worry, there's no opponents there. You won't have to rule and reign. Not over anything. You'll just be up there to rule and reign in the good time. But you aren't going to have any enemies. There's nobody up there after you. There's nothing up there going on. There's nobody going to be doing a bunch of weird stuff up there. So we don't need the victory then. We don't need that. I don't know about you, we need it here, don't we? We need something, and we can have it. It's one of the things we need to begin to get back in our picture of things again. Joseph was in prison, and really in prison, again, God blessed him, and God, you know, used him in prison. But nonetheless, he's still a prisoner. He's still locked up in a jail. You know, the guy's using him. Really, the guy that got the most freedom with him coming there is the guy he's working for. Now, he don't have to work and do all this stuff anymore. Joseph does it all. But Joseph changed not. Joseph's the same guy, and he's walking the same way. We don't find that he complains and gripes and moans. There's a very interesting thing in Genesis, where we have been teaching from. In Genesis, the 40th chapter, is very interesting because we find with Joseph, you know, and looking at Joseph here, and Joseph's in prison, and there's an incident that takes place. What happens is in the 40th chapter, just verse 1 says, it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker, so he put them in custody in the house of the captain of guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. Now listen to what it says. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. It says he served them. See, he wasn't, we think about him pretty, oh, he's down there running everything, and it's real cool. No, it says he's serving them. It says, so they were in custody, it says, for a while. It talks about it. But he was down there serving these guys. So he's down there, you know, he's not operating on some kind of great feeling. He's still a servant. He's still a slave, is what he is. He's still a slave down there. So he's down there serving these guys. But we find out something about Joseph. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what happens is Joseph, you know, these two, this butler and this baker. Now let me understand, with this term butler here and baker, really we find that this guy's a cupbearer. We're not talking about just, you know, these are just two household servants. These guys are in hugely high position. These people are in position. The cupbearer of the king is probably the most trusted spot in the kingdom. This is the guy who keeps the king from being poisoned. The baker, whoever's in charge over the baking and all that kind of stuff, these guys are in charge over somebody don't try to kill Pharaoh. These guys here, the cupbearer would taste the wine and stuff that the king and things would be drinking. He would be, so you'd have a guy there trusted, you know, on this position. We're not talking, you know, most people think, oh yeah, he's a household butler and this guy over just a cook. No, this is a hugely honored position. These guys are high up there. That's why when even they went to prison, they put somebody to serve them. These guys ain't some low-level boys down there on the bottom of the barrel. Well, these two guys have a dream, and they have dreams. And but we find out it's something in... well, let's go. I'll read... verse 5. We'll start there. It says, and then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw them that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Folks are in prison. Seems Joseph ain't like everybody else. Joseph's wondering why somebody is in a bad condition so sad. Like he ain't in one. You know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Bible talks about rejoice. You go look through the scriptures what it says about rejoicing. My God, the church could sure use about 10 years of teaching on that one. Grumping about everything. Something goes bad. Joseph's in jail, and he's, what are you guys so sad about today? Oh my God. If you walked in 90% of the churches of America today, 90% of the people in 90% of the churches are sad. You know, so, you know, they sure ain't. Yes, I'm rejoicing on the inside. Did you ever hear people do that? We ought to notify your face, dummy. If you ain't got it on the outside, you ain't got nothing going on the inside either. And it ain't doing you any good to have it on the inside if you can't get it outside. What good is it? It's of zero value. Joseph, when I read these things, and I've never heard people elaborate on these points. They always just tell this stuff. It's like, no, this is the character of Joseph. This is why so many, the much teaching misses. They just overread everything to tell the story. There's a story they want to tell. Man, this is the story. The story's about this guy. I want to know how he got to be a success. I want to know how he fulfilled God's plan and he got the destiny God called him to. Because not everybody does. The scriptures tell us that many are called, few are chosen. How did he get there? Well, I'm finding out how he got there. You know, it's one of the things that you guys have heard me say this many times. You got to learn to be your own best cheerleader. I'm sure that, you know, Joseph didn't have a group, you know, to go over to you know, church and to turn around. And I just need to hear a good sermon today, you know. And I just, well, I tell you, I've had a bad week and I just really need to. He's got to be his own cheerleader. He's got to be his own cheerleader. And I want to tell you this, if you don't learn to do this, to be your own cheerleader, you're not going very far. You've got to learn to be your own cheerleader. You've got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to learn to do that because there always isn't somebody around to do that. And you're going to be sad until somebody pats you in the back. But what happens when they leave, you don't know how to do it because they did it for you. So as soon as they leave, you start going back to your old grumpy self. Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. No, and this guy, you know, he's sitting there in jail. He comes out, why are you guys sad today? Oh, my. You know, what would you have said if somebody comes, something bad happened to you, and somebody comes, why are you sad today? Well, we had dreams, and we don't know what it means. That was what they was really the thing they're dealing with. Made them sad. Said, and listen when Joseph says to them in verse 8, there's another thing. He says, and they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, does not our interpretation belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Did you hear that? Joseph just says, well, you tell me. God will give me the answer. Just tell me. Oh, we're always looking for somebody. Why don't you go see so-and-so? Or maybe you ought to go down to this ministry. Or you ought to go see this. Or you ought to go to that. Joseph said, no, God has interpretation. I know God. Oh, these people say, my personal relationship with Jesus. Ask them something that you need from Jesus and they'll act like they never heard of him. They'll have to send you to somebody else. Now understand, folks, this is why it doesn't work for people. You need to understand this. Because as soon as you say something like that, you just turn faith off. God can't manifest himself. God's going to manifest. He knows how to cause God to manifest himself. Tell me the interpretation. Tell it to me. Tell me. Good dream. He plans on giving the interpretation. We find out when he goes over to Pharaoh, he does the same thing. Gets over there, Pharaoh, and he's, you know, hey, God knows the interpretation. Well, why did he believe God would tell him? Why did he believe that? Why did he think God would give him interpretation? See, this one, if you look in the scriptures, and the Bible talks about all these gifts of the Spirit and everything, the church continually acts like they're not going to work through them. They're always looking for somebody who's specially gifted. See, this is what I've always believed. God would operate in whatever gift he needed to through me of what is needed at the time. See, some people, well, I have this gift or I have that gift. Well, I want you to understand this. You ain't got none of them. They operate as the Spirit wills. You don't have them. You don't carry them around in your pocket and use them like you want to. They operate by faith. Now, I've taught for 5 years on the subject of gifts in the Spirit. Learned a lot during those years of teaching it. Learned a lot about it. And the gifts of the Spirit. And I've learned one thing. If you don't operate in faith toward those things, they never operate through you. Most people are sitting around and think, well, I just don't have this certain gift. Well, that's your unbelief. Talking. The Bible doesn't say, you know, the Holy Spirit divides severally as he wills. It doesn't say severally as you get one and then you get another one and this guy gets this. It doesn't say that, but that's what we've believed. And so if I don't see anything operating through me because they'll just fall on you, you don't have to believe a thing. No, they operate by faith. I've had every gift of the Spirit at one time or another operate through me. I've had something operate, one of them at a time or another, I've had them all operate through me. I've asked people this question, am I special? Am I special? Well, I know other ministers and other people it's happened to too. I've known others that it's operated. Are they just special? No, we're not special. It's what we believe. If there's a need for things, then therefore they would work. That God will operate things as they're needed. And that's what it's about. We find him, he just turned around and says, well, God knows what's going on. This guy acts like he knows God, like God's going to show up and work through him. See, as Christians, I'm going to just tell you this. I mean, we're operating on a very low level of faith. The church, this stuff is taught today, and people like to talk about like big faith, but we're really operating on a low level of faith. We're waiting for God to do something, and He's just waiting for us to believe something. And if we believe it, to act on it and act like it's true. See, this is where we need to learn to go to. See, I was raised up under Kenneth Hagin ministry, and I'd listen to his teachings on faith and things and read his books. And I was just, as a young Christian, just dumb and thought God would do those things that he said in the Bible, that he'd do them through me. I just thought he would. I didn't know till I got over among all these other Christians that God didn't do nothing. I didn't know it till I got up around them and found out, well, God don't do nothing. No, there's only certain special people. You must be a special. And then they teach that. Like, you're special. You're special. Gifts of the Spirit. We need to understand you have certain ministers and certain manifestations. The Spirit operate through them concerning their office. But that doesn't mean that that don't operate through other people. They might operate through them specifically because of the, when they're operating under their ministry gift, then those manifestations happen. But, I mean, they walk around carrying this stuff in their pocket. And number two, it don't happen through them because they just stand in the office. They have to operate in them by faith. If they don't respond to them by faith, I found out in areas of manifestations of Spirit. Many times I'll come along and I'll just say, I just feel God wants to, move in an area, whether it's healing or whatever it is. I have no sense whatsoever of any anointing of nothing on me, but it don't happen until I start operating in it, until I lay hands on people, do something. You need to understand, gifts ain't going to heal, healing aren't never going to operate through you till you start laying hands on people. It won't turn. God ain't going to send an angel out of heaven, grab your hand, and run you out here and lay it on somebody. It ain't going to happen. It never happens that way. He said, you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So what should we be doing? We should be going and telling people, we lay hands on the sick. Quit sending them all the way to Benny Hinn, because dear God, I mean, I don't want to stay sick that long to get to a Benny Hinn service. Dear God. Do you have a family doctor in another state? And you want to go drive the whole way and drive, 12 hours to get to your family doctor? But see, the church has acted like we don't have the power of God. That's the way we've acted. We've acted like we're trying to get it. Let's pray to power. Let's pray to power. My God, you get any more than the Holy Ghost in you, you'll explode. Dear Lord, you got the Holy Ghost inside. But see, we got to come over here. I love this because I look at this guy. Here he is in prison. He thinks it's strange that they're sad. And no wonder, he knows God. Oh my. Now I want to tell you, there's nobody more religious than the Egyptians in all that they did. And a lot of Christians today, all that they do in their ritual about God, yet don't know God. When you come out and put it right into their face about knowing God, they go hide somewhere. Oh, you can't really know Him. Well, if you don't, seems this young man knew Him. He knew God. As I read these things, I thought, my word, you sit down and look at this stuff. So we see a big thing that about the character of this young man. This guy's a boy of faith. He knows about believing God. He's in a lousy situation. He's in a terrible spot. If anybody got stuff to cry about, he has stuff to cry about. He has things that, I mean, how many of you have been stolen away from your family and sold off into slavery? Could you please raise your hand? Never happened. We don't hear a lot about Joseph. You think they just, when Joseph was hauled off to prison over that thing, his wife, you think they just took him down and just locked him up? Do you think he got a lawyer or something down there? They probably beat him when they put him in prison over the thing he did. They accused him of that he didn't do. This isn't some nice little thing going on down here. I mean, this guy has some things to complain about, but it seems that he knows God. He's after something. He's had two dreams that really pointed his destiny. And it seems that he keeps dumb enough to believe this is going to come to pass. This is one thing as you need to understand. One of the reasons we're dealing, and I want to talk about America here. One of the things we're dealing with right here in America, the church hasn't been able to interpret God's plan for this nation. Now, there's some have, but most haven't. You need to understand this. The Bible tells us there's two different veins that the Bible deals with. The Bible deals with the ungodly and with the godly. And there's things spoken in the Bible how the ungodly are going to get. The church has majored on the ungodly. Well, they have not majored the godly. There's prophecies in the book, all through from the Old Testament through the New Testament, about God's plan for a move of the Spirit in the last days. That's God's plan. That's the destiny of the church. That's our destiny. Our destiny is for a big move of God. It doesn't say, yes, but if the government turns sour, too bad, America. The church has watched too much TV, listened to too much stuff, has paid too much attention, has not paid enough attention to what the Bible says. We need to understand this. There's a destiny for America. And that's the destiny we need to be standing on, God. God, this is what your word said. When we go to prayer, you need to have the word of God when you go to prayer. Quit going and just asking for stuff. You need to have the word of God in prayer and say, God, this is what you said about the last days. I'm living in it. This, you said you would do this. God, I'm believing your word. You're going to pour out your spirit in the last days on our sons and daughters. Hallelujah. You're going to pour out your Holy Ghost. You're going to do what it says. You're going to pour the former and latter rain down in the same season. Hallelujah. That's what you said you're going to do. Well, I didn't see anything except, United States. Except because if United States government, but see, the church is praying like the church is going under. We're not going before God like we're going over. We're not going to God and say, you know what? Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And then we go, oh God, would you please? Oh God, do this. Oh God. See, God, you gave me authority here. Hallelujah. Glory. And the devil will not win. He can't. I'm here. He can't overrun me. The scripture says so. See, we need to get in line with the word of God. The scripture tells us. Hallelujah. We need to line up with the scripture, quit lining up with government, quit lining up with the last political thing and the next political preacher, and get in line with the word of God and start going to God on the basis of the destiny He laid out. Instead of carrying this thing, we've been carrying this junk along, worried about elections and who's running and who's this. Man, I hope Trump tears up everything. I'm just going to tell you this. I believe God has let him loose in this thing to cause trouble because the church has been silent. Oh, Spirit-filled guys on TV and big ministries are so silent about what's important, it could make you puke. Wouldn't send them a nickel. I mean, it wouldn't be for Franklin Graham's out there. He's only got stood up, has the guts on this thing. He's going to make a national tour on this stuff about what's going on in this nation and tell people. And boy, the big boys on TV, you know, they're still just preaching money and preaching, everything's going to go the same. Yes, it is. It's going to go the same for them. There's going to be something fall out of the sky on them if they don't straighten up. And it ain't going to be good. See, we need to come back. And that's why, praise God, if people ain't going to move, they're going to get run over. Because there is a remnant of the church that knows the interpretation and knows, and I'll tell you, they're calling it in. And there's a lot of opposition in the Spirit-filled church world against the move of God. There's a lot of opposition against it. We want it on our terms. I want it on God's terms. If I don't line up, I need to get run over. So do you. If you don't like, why? Because there's people who will never come to Jesus Christ. There's people who will never be saved. They'll go off to eternity of hell. And we need to know, we need a move of God in America here. We need something that's going to shake this nation to its core. Hallelujah. And I believe God can do that. I believe God can shake things up. And He has a destiny, and I want God's destiny. Joseph, it seems, that he knows there's a destiny. He knows there's something. And he's just keeping walking in it. He's just continually walking in this same thing. He's continually heading down the road following this thing. He turns around, he interprets these guys' dreams. We're not going to read the whole thing, but he interprets these guys' dreams. And what he told them both happened. He told the cupbearer that he was going to get put back in his position, and the baker's dead. Man, I tell you, he must have done a bad thing baking. I don't know what he did, but you ladies, your husband ain't like that on you if you bake something, does it? It don't get that severe. But, he interprets the dreams and are correct. Well, he asked the The butler, he had said specifically to the butler, he said, when you get put back in your position, remember me. You know, tell Pharaoh, I've been taken from my land. I've been hauled off. I'm out here. I'm innocent. I haven't done a thing wrong. Well, what happens is the Bible tells us the butler got moved back in his position again and forgot about Joseph. That's what he did. He got moved back in his position and forgot about Joseph. Well, have you ever had that? Hallelujah. But I want you to understand, Joseph, it seems, changes not. Joseph changes not. He's going on and he's doing the same job. He's walking in the same thing. And I just want to say something, then it turns around. And over in verse 41, chapter 41, it says this. It said, it came to pass at the end of 2 years that Pharaoh had a dream. Now just think this. Joseph now is in prison 2 more years. He's down there in prison again 2 more years. Now, I'm sure he's had it better than some prisoners, but I'm going to tell you, you're still in prison. You know, I worked in Lebanon County Prison, and I was glad to leave every night. There ain't any job was good in the place from the standpoint that you like to be around and deal with what you deal with. None of them were good. There was nobody says, please let me stay here more. Prisons ain't fun places. You know why? They say it's the prisoners. No, it's not. It's all the demons. Because people are in prison because they yield to demons. And we lock them all up in one place, which, well, you got to do it. And all those demons that operate in those guys and women and all that stuff, they're all there. It ain't like you come to church here and you smile at each other and you sit around and do that. That ain't the kind of spirits they got. That ain't the kind of spirit. And you lock them all up together, and that's what you got. You got all them spirits there in operation. And I'm going to tell you, you just want to keep them off of you. You know, it's good to know spiritually. Or what happens? I watch people I worked with at the prison. I watch the spirits start operating in them that operate in the men because they don't know what to do about that stuff. And after a while, they're operating. And I looked around, and I even told the warden, who used to be the warden down at that time, I said, my words, I said, some of the staff here in this prison belong in jail more than some of the guys we have locked up. I said, they do worse. Well, you're working around that stuff all the time. Those demons are always trying to latch a hold on you. I mean, you ain't nothing to go to prison in spirits of depression, dear God. You have to keep it off of you. If you don't learn how to do that stuff, you end up depressed like they are. You end up in the same mess. But you know, and they're out there trying to correct everything today. Well, you know, we just take these guys and rehabilitate them. Yeah, that works. You know, rehabilitation. I worked at Lebanon County Prison. The whole time I worked there, we never had one prisoner who went out to one of these, you know, counseling whatsoever it was, these counseling things that they have, and they send them out there and they go through these counseling. What they do is they parole them, but they have to attend these things and go through all these counseling. We never had one guy who did not end up returning to prison. The counseling worked great. Not one. Biggest waste of money you ever want to throw out. You know, they considered a drug addict, if you quit taking drugs for 3 months, you were cured. It don't matter if you, the fourth month you went back to it, they still claimed that you were cured because for 3 months you stayed on. That's the best the government got to offer. That's why the government does it. They set that standard, because if they didn't set that standard, they wouldn't have any rate of cure. And they'll say, oh, we have certain percentage guys cured. Yeah, go over and read what the real results are. You'll laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. But that's what government does to justify itself, to keep itself in jobs. That's what it does. We're helping people. Yeah, you're helping people. It's really working. Well, so you can't take God out of places because, you know, bad places need God. They don't ever get any better. They don't get better. And I mean, like there in prison when I was down there, and I guess now it's still about the same, maybe even higher, 86-point-something% return rate. So you can just guess that when these guys get in prison, they're coming back. Don't worry, they get out. They'll be back. You ain't going to be lonely long. You'll see your friends again. And it was. I tell you, most guys, they didn't stay out hardly any time. I mean, they'd be out for a month or two, and they're back. They're back doing their stuff. Hallelujah. But see, if things aren't dealt with, people don't deal with things spiritually. And It isn't, you know, all these people, they just want, well, I need counseling and ideas. No, you need delivered. You need set free from demonic powers and realize you're under a demonic oppression. Only one way to deal with that is Jesus. And even with Christians, they don't even like to deal with that. They don't want to hear, I got a devil. Well, if you're acting like the devil's, there's a good chance you own one. You might as well get with the program. Sit around, lie, and say whatever you want. I said, people need to know what Christians can get yielded to the spirits and yield to things. My words, you wonder how many times. I mean, I was in Lebanon County Prison. We had ministers got ended up getting locked up in jail. Ministers get locked up in jail. One guy beat up his wife. Another guy did some other thing. And I said, ended up locked up in jail. Ministers. You have guys in there, Christians, born again. Some guys, even they were spirit-filled, end up in prison.